Welcome to Contemplative Sunday at Liminal Church. It's the last Sunday of the month. This is the time for those of you who are new here, where we take time to sit, to be still, to pray, listen, ponder, process. It's good to be here with you all, and I really mean that. It really is an honor to get to share this space with you and to create something really sacred together. Do we have any kids to dismiss? Doesn't look like it. I think we're good. All right, great. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. For those who don't know me, my name's Andrew Collins. I guess I'm on the teaching team now. Here, there's a rotation of folks that take turns teaching and facilitating these contemplative services. So today doesn't end up being your jam. Come back next week, and you'll get a different voice and a different perspective. So in addition to it being an honor to be here, it's also an honor to begin wrapping up this series on Shalom that we embarked on together at the beginning of the year. The season's been a really, really beautiful opportunity to explore this idea, this possibility, this sometimes lived out and experienced reality of a flourishing and abundant relationship with God, with nature, with each other, and as we've been focusing this past month, with ourselves. So today, as we take time to slow down, to be still, to sit in silence, I want to invite you to see if we can find some movement through this question. How can we move from fragmentation, from a space of inner conflict, of being at war with ourselves, to a place of peace and loving acceptance? As a quick side note, many of the images and sketches and the slides here today are from a British artist named Rebecca Dandridge Walker. They're these portraits that she experimented with during the COVID lockdowns as a creative way of channeling her stress and anxiety and physical pain. And they're intended to illustrate and explore how that traumatic season resulted in this fragmented sense of self for many of us. And I know for many of us, probably in ways we aren't even fully aware of, we're still recovering from that, still picking up the pieces. Now, before we begin, I feel like I need to confess that I'm not up here as an exemplar of shalom with my own self. On the contrary, especially this year, I've often struggled to love myself. I've struggled to love and to care for my body, to make room for my own soul to be fully alive and present. Certainly have not always been deeply at peace with myself. And to be honest, I felt pretty fragmented, even at war with myself, much like we see depicted in these sketches. So what I've pulled together, what I want to offer to us here is something that I feel like I need to hear first and foremost, and just trusting it'll resonate, hopefully be helpful for you as well. So to begin, I want to share a quote that I hope can be sort of a guiding word for our time together this morning. It's by the Persian poet and writer Khalil Gibran. He said, "And God said, love your enemy, and I obeyed God and loved myself." So let's sit with that for a moment. Personally, I don't have many, if any, people in my life I would consider straight up enemies, but this hits. What are you most critical of? What do you get the most angry at? Who do you bear the most judgment toward? Is it possible those are things that you're holding anger and judgment in yourself towards? And is there an intention you can set for yourself that you feel like you need during our time together this morning? Let's sit with this for a few minutes. we continue to take time to reflect on our sense of self, of where we're at in terms of being at peace with ourselves, I'd like to invite you to simply take stock of where you're at, right here, right now. I like how the Irish poet Padre Gotuama speaks of this in Approaching Prayer. He says, "Where is it that we are when we pray? We are obviously in the place where we are. However, we are often in many places. We are saying to ourselves, I should be somewhere else, or I should be someone else, or I am not where I say I am. In prayer, to begin where you are, to begin where you are not, is a poor beginning. To begin where you are may take courage or compromise or painful truth-telling. Whatever it takes, it is wise to begin there. The only place to begin is where I am, and whether by desire or disaster, I am here." So let's reflect on this. Where are you right now in relationship with yourself? Not where you want to be, not where you think you should be, not where you wish you were, but where you are right now. And what feelings come up in this process? Do you feel proud, ashamed, grieved, grateful? Let's sit with these things. Take a breath in and out. Settle in. In our next meditation this morning, I'd like to invite you to consider the ways in which you've identified, or rather over-identified, with your vices, faults, afflictions, failures, and allowed these things to fragment and disrupt your sense of self. And to do that, I want to consider this passage from the Gospel of Mark. It's from Mark 5. And they, being Jesus and the disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." My name is Legion, for we are many. Here's Padre Otuama again, reflecting on this passage. I think the angle he takes here is really powerful. "What is your name?" the man was asked. And he answered, "I am what has afflicted me." How many of us know the truth of this? When we are toward the end of ourselves, we begin to believe that we are only what we struggle with. And the man here tells us a truth that is awful. We baptize ourselves with names that are far from the only truth about ourselves. Now in this story, Jesus, of course, in asking the man his name, ultimately seeks to appeal to a deeper, truer identity, a deeper, truer, single name by which each one of us is known, loved, and called by God. As we've seen during the Shalom series and our repeated readings of the opening pages of Genesis, the primary impulse of God in the beginning is seen in naming. So this is an opportunity to ask yourself, what afflictions or struggles have I baptized myself with? Have I overly identified with? And underneath that, what is the name, what is the identity, the truth about you that God speaks over you? What might that true name mean for your deepest sense of self? Let's consider these things. Thank you. for this last meditation before we take communion together, I'd like to share a couple anecdotes from my own life recently that have challenged me to make peace with myself and to love myself. The first was a conversation with my friend Esteban, who some of you know from this community here. We were talking, and I was sharing. It was really, really opening up, disclosing something I had done that was not just something I felt ashamed of, but it was one of those things that was like clearly, unambiguously wrong. Was an action that gave assent to and participated in a system that was dehumanizing, frankly. And I had done this thing, and I felt like I'd crossed this red line. And he just looked at me, a little bit of a smile on his face, and said, "Andrew, imagine someone else, imagine a friend telling you this, telling you that they'd done this thing that you just shared, that you just told me about. How would you respond to that person, to a friend telling you this?" And immediately, I had to admit, my response to someone else would have had a lot more kindness and a lot more gentleness and a lot more grace than I was showing myself in that moment. And Esteban's question made me think of something that my spiritual director had reflected to me several months earlier. Again, in a moment where I'd been confessing, disclosing something that I felt guilty about and was really frustrated about. And he said, "You know, Andrew, sometimes it's harder for us to be Christ to ourselves than to be Christ to others." And I was like, "Yeah, it is. Why is that? What's getting in the way of me being Christ to myself, of acknowledging and honoring my own identity as an image bearer of God, of acknowledging that I am someone worth loving, and not just that, but actually worth forgiving?" So for the next few minutes, I'd invite you, if you're in a space for it, to think about a source of shame in your life or something you hate yourself for, despise yourself for, and consider how you can be Christ to yourself, to offer yourself that kindness, that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness in the midst of that. So are there any areas of your life where you find this to be true, to be harder to show that presence of Christ, that kindness to yourselves? What would it look like to offer that to yourself today? Let's sit with this. So as we move into our time of communion together, invite the ushers to come up. So in communion at the table, we now have an opportunity to do this very thing we've just been reflecting on, to offer Christ to ourselves, to receive that presence in a mysterious way by eating, partaking of the bread and wine, which in our case here are gluten-free crackers and non-alcoholic grape juice. But in this holy ritual, we have an opportunity to really open ourselves in some mysterious way to the physical, visceral reality of who we already are as children of God. I like how Richard Rohr puts it, speaking of the Eucharist from the Catholic tradition. He says, "The Eucharist is an encounter of the heart, knowing presence through our available presence." In this ritual, we move beyond mere words or rational thought and go to that place where we don't talk about the mystery, but we begin to chew on it. We keep eating and drinking the mystery until one day it dawns on us in an undefended moment, "My God, I really am what I eat." Henceforth, we can trust and allow what has been true since the first moment of our existence. We are the very body of Christ. We have dignity and power flowing through us in our naked existence. And this reality itself is enough to guide and empower our entire faith journey. So here at Liminal, we really do hold to that we are all children of God, that all are welcome to the table, all are welcome to participate, regardless of who you are, what your background is, what you've done, where you're coming from. You can just file down either aisle here whenever you're ready. And really receive this presence. Let's come to the table together. That concludes our formal time together here this morning. But if you would like to linger, if you would like to stay, if it would be helpful for you to have more time in this contemplative space, you're welcome to remain here for a while. Jared, if you want to put up that last image. Had one last reading I was thinking about doing, but I know we're pushing an hour here. But if you do want to stay, sit in this space, know that you're more than welcome. Any conversations can happen out in the foyer. So as we leave, as we go from here, may you be at peace with yourself. And may you love yourself as you love your neighbor and as you love your God. Blessings to you. Thank you.